May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
In today's gospel, we hear Jesus tell the parable of the sower, and then he explains it. Scholars believe that the explanation was probably a later addition to the text, which doesn't mean that it's not a true explanation. It just means that parables naturally and intentionally open themselves to different interpretations. We're each meant to approach Jesus's parables with curiosity about what new dimension of the gospel God might be offering us from moment to moment as we grow in our lives. In Jesus's time, there was opposition to his message, and this parable certainly helped explain why some people hear the message and it takes root in them, while others reject the message altogether. Our context today is different. I doubt that many people bothering to tune in to a pre-recorded service are opposed to the gospel. Probably anyone who has taken the time out of their day to watch this service, and we're so glad you've joined us, probably you have some sense of being on board with the idea that Jesus has some good words for us to help us live better lives. So I'd like for us to take a different approach to the parable this morning. I want us to look inside of ourselves at the variety of soils that can be found within a single human being, inside of you and inside of me. Because I don't know about you, but when I consider my own various moods and feeling states, I realize that I have different responses at different times to Jesus's sweeping message that there is a beautiful, healed, whole, loving, compassionate, forgiving, and transformed way of being that's available to me. There are times when I'm too busy to be bothered with such a message. I'm rushed and hurried, breathlessly preparing for something. Perhaps it occurs to me that I could slow down, maybe a brief fleeting moment. I think, you could slow down, Hugh. Remember you're alive. Remember you're a part of something beyond yourself. Maybe I have this fleeting awareness that I could pause. But no, I'm so carried away with what I'm doing. I'm so convinced of the importance of the moment or whatever I'm hurrying to do that I just keep plowing ahead on that busy and well-worn path of my life. So busy that any seed of spiritual invitation to remember a more beautiful story, those seeds are just snatched away by that flock of chattering birds that hang out on a high wire right next to my busy inner highway. Sometimes the seeds fall on that path inside of me. What about you? Do you ever feel that way? Then there's the rocky terrain inside of me. I wake up. The sun is shining, feel grateful to be alive. I might remember to say a prayer to God, thanks for creating me. I wander to the kitchen, hearing the birds singing outside. I open the refrigerator, and there's no milk for my tea. Despair and blame. How did it go wrong so quickly? And truth be told, sometimes my rocky days don't even begin with sunshine. I can wake up on the wrong side of the bed, stirred up and stormy. What about you? Do you have rocky soil inside of yourself? There are other times when the seeds of good news fall on the thorny terrain of my inner landscape. For example, the gospel message of justice and righteousness has landed in my consciousness. And thanks to the Black Lives Matter movement, I understand in a new and powerful way that I must take action. I must do more to join this movement. So I buy books, I read them, I attend meetings, but then I can feel complacency, can feel white privilege crowding in to choke away that new growth. It can become a struggle to continue the work, to stay with it. What about you? Do you have that kind of thorny terrain in your life where outside forces seem to work against the progress you're making? And then there's the good soil. There's those seeds that fell long ago in my young heart that connected me with Jesus. And it's been a lifelong journey, remembering this message that my life is best lived when I remember that it belongs to God instead of me. With so many ups and downs, that relationship, that belief system is still there, alive in me. That good soil has nurtured a prayer life. It's fostered family and friendships and my marriage. There is faith within me. Sometimes it gives me those moments where I feel deeply connected to life, moments of stillness in the forested beauty of our island where I've known great peace. And what about you? Have you felt those moments of deep contentment and relatedness in the fertile soil of your being? Maybe our inner landscapes look like an aerial photograph of the earth, where you see the parts of the landmass that are deeply green, and those other parts that are brown and parched, struggling to sustain life, and then those urban areas where it's all grid and hectic activity. God is in the business of transforming the entire operation, the whole earth, the whole of each of us. That's the good news of the gospel. This is why the sower throws the seeds on all of those places, all over the place, even in places where it looks like seeds wouldn't grow. The seeds of love, compassion, and connectedness want to take root in every nook and cranny of our being. Maybe if we pay attention, we can learn to notice that we are constantly being showered with seeds that want to take root in us and grow us more, grow us in God's beauty, grow God's beauty in our lives. And maybe if we notice that seeds want to take root in new areas of our lives, we can remember to welcome them. We can remember to pray. Because I think prayer is how we cultivate and build up good soil inside of ourselves, even on the busy streets, even in the thorny areas and the rocky areas. So even when we're so busy in those noisy, crowded streets of our inner lives, we can remember to take a breath and pray something like, "Oh God, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord." And when we're feeling stubborn and rocky, what if we prayed for some softening of the soil within? Something like, "Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move our hearts that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatred cease, that our divisions may be healed so that we may live in justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord." And in those moments where we want to overcome the thorny forces around us and in us that work against God's reign on earth, maybe we could pray something like, "Oh God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that we may serve you in harmony through Jesus Christ our Lord." And for those precious moments when we're fully awake and alive, when we feel in communion with God, in communion with our neighbors, at peace in ourselves, maybe we could remember to stop and pray something like, "Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.